Welcome to On the Village Green, ladies and gentlemen. And I say this every week, and you're probably getting really tired of me saying this, but I have an interview this week that is going to rivet you to your seat. Trust me on this. The young lady that we have sitting next to me is, her name is Annette Conlon. Let me start again. The lady I have sitting next to me, her name is Annette Conlon. You probably, most of you have probably not heard the name, but she is a songwriter, a singer, and she has a new CD out that was up for a Grammy this year. But the reason I invited her to the studio to talk to us is because I'm not sure how to explain this, and I'll explain it as we go on through the interview. But this lady has a strength that I certainly do not have. She has put up and endured all kinds of illnesses, broken bones, maladies of all different kinds, which she will explain to us. And through all of this, she keeps singing and playing the guitar and making CDs. And I'm not sure that I have that strength in me to do what she does. So, without another word, we're going to play a track from her CD, and then I'll introduce you to her. This is a song called Live Like an Angel.
Thank you.
Well, I told you, didn't I? What I said about the song? And sitting next to me is Annette, and we are going to talk. Welcome to my show, by the way.
Thank you so much for having me, Richard. It's a delight to be here.
I was forgetting my manners. I first saw Annette at a show that we did called the Indie Collaborative, which is a group of indie performers, independent. Indie stands for independent, as you probably guessed. And we did a show, I can't remember where we did the show. It was in L.A. somewhere.
Was it Glendale or Burbank or some theater up
yeah,
there?
Some yeah, some theater. That's my first meeting with Annette. And I'm going to let Annette tell you her life story in due course here. But the thing, I guess, that she's a very pretty lady. She writes great songs, she sings well, she plays guitar. But on top of all that, she's had every disease and every broken bone and stuff you can think of. Oh, it boggles my mind. So, Annette, tell us, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about your history. How did you get to where you are now?
Hi, Richard. Well, thank you for having me. I haven't had everything. I've had a few bad things happen to me over the course of my life. And I will say that having those things happen has definitely informed my choices that I make today and how I look at life today, for sure. The main things probably that have changed the course of my life, aside from this silly knee business that's going on now from a ski injury back in the mid-80s, is having what's called a retropharyngeal abscess. That occurred...
I can't even say that, folks.
It's practice. Practice makes perfect. That occurred back in 2012, and it started with just having esophageal spasms, and at first I thought I was having a heart attack, which was very surprising. I'm a vegan. I eat very well, and I thought, gosh, how could I have a heart attack?
And you were athletic when you were young.
I was. I rode horses. I went hiking and skied. And I thought, gosh, you know, how can I possibly be having a heart attack? But here we are at the ER, and they said, no, it's not a heart attack. Your EKG is fine. It's some spasm. Here are pain meds. Go away.
Well, that's typical.
Succinctly. And so... it occurred again and again, and thus began the long journey of just struggling to figure out what exactly it was. And you fast forward from April to August when we're back in the ER, and I'm septic. I'm fully septic, and they rush me into ICU, having emergency surgery to save my life, and I was there in ICU for 9 days. I subsequently had 3 surgeries through my esophagus, to get rid of this abscess, repair a hole in my esophagus, feeding tube, tracheotomy, the whole thing. I mean, it was very dramatic, very scary. It was all over my Facebook, and all my friends knew what was going on. I did lose my right vocal cord for quite a while. They had to do a procedure to repair that. And through it all, whenever I felt good enough, I went and played. I couldn't sing. I wasn't strong enough to hold a guitar. I picked up a violin, a small 3/4 scale violin, and because I could kind of play by ear, I would play that. So I felt like a sound was coming forth from my body, my chest, my heart, my vocal area. It felt right. And I would play with Doug. And as I got better, I started to play guitar again. It took about a year before I was strong enough to play the guitar. And just about a year later, really, it was April 17th, 2014, we were celebrating my friend's birthday, and I stepped off the curb holding a cake for her that we had just picked up, and I fell, my legs collapsed, hit my head on a trash can, and suffered a severe concussion. Back to the ER I go, and the doctors tell me that when you have a severe concussion, you need to stay off electronics, computer, cell phone, don't watch TV, don't listen to music, because you need to allow your brain time to recover. So I gave myself that time to recover. Wait, that would be 2 years later. Sorry, bad math. So I gave myself that time to recover and tuned out of everything. And in that time of not being on the internet, not watching TV or listening to music, I started to listen to myself and listen to my thoughts. And it was really the first time that I thought about all the stuff that I had gone through. And these thoughts came to me, and thus I wrote my album, yes, Life, Death, and the Spaces Between. All the songs in the album are in the order that they were written. The first song was written on April 22nd. The second one, Live Like an Angel, which we just heard, was written on April 23rd. This is 2014. They were all written in the order and are on the CD in the order they were written. And I just wrote and wrote and wrote. And I started writing notes, and I realized they were not just words. They were fully formed songs with melodies. And I really listened to myself. I pulled out my phone, even though I wasn't supposed to use the phone. I would just sing it into the phone. And I realized these were songs. And I picked up the guitar and I started playing them. And they were coming out. They were pouring forth. And Doug comes home from work, and I'm playing these songs.
Doug's your husband.
My husband, Doug. And he says, oh, my goodness, these are great songs. These are the best songs you've ever written. And I'm not supposed to be using my brain. And yet my brain is just doing this. You know, this. I unlocked a muse by bonking my head on the trash can so hard. Live Like an Angel, the song we just heard, is about rising above all of those things that we have, our oppressive things that might happen, the bad things that happen, the stressful things, the really traumatic things that happen to us, not letting those things change us, but instead rising above them and being the best person we can be. And that was really the lesson I learned from all of the things that I had gone through.
And incidentally, you have mentioned that you had a ski accident.
I did. I had a ski accident back in the mid-80s, which I had 5 surgeries for, and then I kind of shelved. I'd get injections on and just ignored. Well, this past year, this past July, it said, hello, you can't ignore me anymore. I'm back in full force, and now I have to get a knee replacement because I think that, you know, being a musician for a long, big portion of my life and playing gigs and touring and then, of course, being so sick for so long, I didn't have time to deal with the knee. I was dealing with all of these other things. And the knee is now, hello, no, it's my turn. So.
Oh, wow.
So knee replacement next.
Oh, my goodness. So did you grow up wanting to be a singer-songwriter?
Yes. I had this fantasy of being a singer-songwriter. My mom tells me that when I was 16, I ran away to Nashville. That's the big story. I ran away to Nashville to be a singer-songwriter. I was in choir from when I was 7 on. My mom says I would always sing when I was little. I wrote songs. Some of the songs I wrote when I was little are really funny. But I wrote Christmas songs. I wrote songs. I wrote stories. When I would read a book, I would be upset the book was over, so I would write a continuation of the book. I didn't want it to end. I wrote. I drew. I was a very creative child, and choir was a great thing. By the time I was a senior in high school, I was in 5 choirs, 3 in my high school, a city choir, and a church choir. And I was in church choir pretty much my whole life, from being a little kid up through graduating high school. I actually got into a college with a music program, but my parents didn't want me to move so far away, and so I stayed in town instead, and there was no music program at that school, so that kind of ended my music career until I met my husband Doug, and then we were back in it with the band.
He sings as well, doesn't he?
Yes, he's always had a band of some sort since he was 14.
All right, I tell you what, let's take a break from talking and let's play another track, and I'll let you be the DJ. Why don't you
All right, we're going to do, we just did kind of a more melancholy type song, so we're going to flip it around and we're going to do an upbeat song. The song is called Rodeo. Rodeo is a metaphor for life in this song. It's about not being afraid to take a different path, or actually even let that path choose you and try something and go somewhere new, not being afraid.
All right. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. Jack from Life, Death, and the Spaces Between, Annette Conlon. Why do I keep pronouncing your name wrong? Conlon. It's an old Irish name?
Oh, yeah.
And here is the track. It is called Rodeo. Okay, we are back, and we're sitting talking to Annette, and we're talking songwriting here. What gives you inspiration to write a song?
Well, now on this album, everything came from my life. Every single song in this album was informed either by everything came from an exact experience that I had. I mean, it's kind of like my autobiography of that time lived. And if you name a title, I can tell you exactly why I wrote the song and what it came from.
How many CDs do you have out?
For solo, I have one solo CD, but Doug and I had a rock band, and we released four CDs with that from our Dallas band. And before that, we had a band in Colorado, and we had one CD with that.
Oh, wow.
So we have several CDs collectively, but as far as a solo CD, this totally came from me bonking my head and opening up this new fountain of direction. Now I've written a ton of songs since this has been released. I'm hard at work putting together a new album, which I hope to release. I hope to release a couple of singles this year and a new album the following year. I'm not in a huge hurry because I want the second album to be really spectacular, and so I need to make sure that it is.
Do you gig a lot?
We gig a lot. We gig all the time.
Where do you play?
Everywhere. Well, tomorrow night we're at, well, tomorrow, Friday, being February 19th. I don't know
how you do your days.
But we'll be at the Cinema Bar in Culver City. But we play up and down the coast of California from San Diego up to Ventura, which isn't all the way on the coast, but a little bit. We have played in Arizona. We play in Colorado frequently, both in Denver and Colorado Springs. I do a little mini tour in Tennessee and North Carolina. That's becoming a regular thing, which is really nice.
And you do this as a duo?
Yes. Yeah. And but then as far as in L.A., we play all over in L.A. So from little like coffee houses to regular clubs with a band.
Yeah.
So it just varies.
So looking forward, you're going to release a new CD. Is there something that you haven't done musically that you'd love to do?
One of these days I'll do a professional music video. I think that'll happen. That costs a lot of money, which is why I haven't done it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Right? And I figure, well, I mean, you get great live recordings, and I kind of almost as a fan like to watch live videos of bands more than those pro videos. But one of these days I'll do that. And as far as like a tour in Europe, that's definitely something I would really like to do.
I shouldn't ask a young lady this, because I got a feeling that you're going to tell me something I'm not prepared for. How old are you?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, see, you're not supposed to ask a young lady this, but I'm interested because you have had so much stuff happen in your life that I got a feeling that you look a lot younger than you are.
I look a lot younger than I am.
That's the only answer I'm going to get, folks.
That's the safe answer.
That's the safe answer. All right, I won't press the point. You can tell me when we get off the radio. Let's choose another track to take us home. Is there? Tell everybody how they can reach you, how they can see you, your website, how they can book you, all this kind of stuff.
I have a website. It's simply my name, AnnetteConlon.com. That's AnnetteConlon.com.
You pronounced it correctly.
Practice. I'm working on a new one, so it's a little bit kind of stuck in last year. I'm really hard at work on a new one, which I hope to get finished in the next month. Grammys kind of slowed me down.
Oh, I know.
Gosh. But also on Facebook at Annette Conlon Music, Twitter, Annette Conlon, Instagram, Annette Conlon Music. You know, you type in Annette Conlon, you're going to find me or my very good friend and cousin, seven times removed, Annette Conlon in Glen Eyrie, Ireland.
Oh, really?
Yes.
How funny is that?
Right?
She doesn't sing or write songs.
No, but we're good friends, and she's my cousin, seven times removed.
Well that's funny because...
By marriage.
It's very funny you should say that because I don't know what made me do it, but I typed my name into Facebook to see what would come up. Of course, my Facebook page came up. But also, there was a guy in England, which is obviously where I'm from, but there's also a guy in England whose name is Richard Byford.
Right.
Who has a website.
So now we've become friends.
Right.
Don't you love that? You have to become friends with the person you share names with. You know?
It's a little strange, I guess, to share a name with somebody. But
a little bit. But after a while, you know, now we're just friends and we support each other.
Yeah.
I mean, we really support each other and cheer each other on. And then, like, when there's something bad, we're there for each other. And
oh, cool.
It's really nice.
All right.
The fact that she's related to my husband is crazy.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
Those Conlons.
Conlon.
Yeah.
That's an Irish name?
It's an Irish name.
Yeah, yeah. All right, what track do you want to...
Well, I think we're going to go out with You Gave Me Wings. I wrote this song for my dad for his birthday. I decided on his birthday a couple years ago, I guess it would be 2014, to give him a song because I was really in the songwriting mood. So I was visiting for his birthday, and I sat down to write a song, and I wrote a little bit of it, and then I came upstairs because I wanted to spend time with him. And while I was sitting in the room with him and he's watching football, I wrote the rest of it. And I kind of had the melody in mind, and so I wrote down what I was pretty sure what the chords were. And then when we were opening gifts, I said, I've got a song, and I played it. And it worked.
Oh, cool.
I was like, yay.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the song, so.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to On the Village Green. My guest this week has been Annette Conlon, and we are going to take it home with a track from her latest CD called Life, Death, and the Spaces Between. And this is called You Gave Me Wings. Annette, thank you so much for being
on
my show.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate it so much. I adore you.
Thank you. This is called You Gave Me Wings, and we'll see you next time on The Village Green.
When happiness is found in the smallest of things, that strength can be found.